Hello and welcome to another episode of the IAAF Inside Athletics Podcast. I'm Ben Harlow and I'm joined by some very special guests this week. Michelle Summit.
Hello.
Steve Landells.
Hello.
And Thomas Byrne.
Good evening.
It's been it's a very special episode today because we are actually reviewing part one of the Continental Cup. It's been a crazy day and each of us have been assigned a team. So I was Team Europe.
I was Team Americas.
I was Team Asia Pacific.
And the African Lions were assigned to me.
it was actually a really fantastic day at the Continental Cup. And I think let's start it off with the leaders. Michelle, you're Team Americas. How pleased are you today?
Well, what can I say? We went in there. We knew we were going to dominate. Katharina Berggren yesterday briefly in her captain's or team representative speech said, I know you're all going to do your best. And I think that came out today because I think there were a few surprises where we didn't necessarily expect to win because there were a few other favourites. But some of our guys and girls really surprised.
I have to say, the Americas did really step up in, I think where others, like you said, other favourites perhaps faltered, the Americas did seem to step up in quite a few occasions, actually.
And one thing that I really liked about it as well was the fact that you could see, given that it's not just North America and or just South America, it's two continents really combined in one team, and they're all coming together as a team, they all did really well. And I think in particular that was highlighted in the women's 4x1 relay. We had four athletes from four different nations. We know how often relays can go wrong. We had Ecuador, Bahamas, USA and Brazil, and they managed to win that whole thing.
Yeah, I think I was actually maybe most impressed by that relay team. Running 42.11 is no slouch of a time either, with Angela Tenorio, who was junior silver medalist back in 2014,
yeah.
Tadina Asher-Smith, Shawnee Miller-Weibo on second leg, Jenna Prandini third leg, and then Vitória Rosa from Brazil on the last leg.
And the nice thing there was yesterday we were actually at the warm-up track when they were practicing and we saw the exchange between Shawnee Miller-Weibo to Jenna Prandini, and it didn't look good. I was really worried for that team there, so to see them pull it off, just really impressed.
Do you think they said hand, stick,
I saw the girls, I saw Dina Asher-Smith talk with Jenna Prandini and Kenny Harrison, in fact, who was a backup for the relay. And I said, girls, what are you doing? Because Dina, obviously, that the Europeans, it was just the British team. And the other girls were saying, well, we've got four different nations. And I said, what language do you say? And they just say, go!
You mentioned Kenny there. And the first track race of the day was that 100-metre hurdles.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, America's just got off to a flying start, didn't they? And I think that really kind of set the stall out for what they did achieve throughout the whole day. They went 1-2, Kendra Harrison flying out the blocks, but Danielle Williams getting the win in that one. And for me, that just really set the tone, and not just on the track, but in the field, Michelle. You're motioning at me because you're very excited about this hammer win, I'm sure.
Well, it was exactly that. I think it was showing that they could answer. We had it in the women's hammer throw where Deanna Price just came out and just overtook one of the favourites. Women's discus as well, Yami Peres just upsetting Sandra Perkovic there, and Donald Thomas in the high jump was fantastic. Mm-hmm. It was Katharina Berggren, never in doubt, in the women's triple jump, of course. She was one of the jokers. Frederik Dacres in the men's discus, another joker. We've just, across the board, had absolutely fantastic performances. And as you said, it was kicked off by that start in the hurdles.
I think as well with the Americas, you kind of, when you think of the Americas team, you do just go to USA automatically. But actually, when you look across it, like the nations who have won, you've got like Panama, Jamaica, Bahamas, Ecuador, Cuba. Yeah, so seeing such an eclectic bunch of nations kind of come together and do so well, it is actually really, really nice to see. On the other end of the podium, Team Africa, Tom.
A mixed day, I think you could describe it. It all started so well with Marie-Josie Talu winning ahead of Dina Asher-Smith, and at that stage I think we all kind of had a bit of hope, especially when Winnie Chabet held off Shelby Houlihan in that 1500 metres.
Yeah,
I think when we saw Houlihan in contention coming off the final bend,
I thought she had it.
Yeah, we all, yeah.
I was watching it at the warm-up track with a few of the African team, and they were slightly nervous, so when Chabet, every little break that Houlihan kind of put in, Chabet just had the answer. And every time she held her off, there was a little roar from the African team. But fortunately, the happy moments for the African team were rare. So yes, Ben, you are right. It was a mixed checkered day. Although we're currently bottom of the standings, I think there's hope for the Team Africa.
Yeah.
For the Lions to come back roaring on day two.
I don't know about the Lions. I think it was a pretty good day for the Tigers.
Asia Pacific
Tigers. I mean, we've had a hard rap in previous Continental Cups with 2 fourth places.
Mm-hmm.
But at the team meeting yesterday, Yana Pittman was very combative. She believed that this team had the makings to move certainly off bottom slot. And I think we've had a very, very solid first day. Our star performers delivered and then some. I mean, arguably the two best performances of the day were Salwa Eid Nasser in the 400 meter flat, and then Mr. Samba, of course, in the 400 meter hurdles with 2 world-class performances. Samba, I think, equaled Ed Moores' Continental Cup record World Cup record. That was an astonishing display. And I think what impressed me both about both performances so late on in the season is just how quick they were. I mean, time and time, week after week, month after month this season, they've delivered. Quite a few of the performers have dropped off, but those two guys delivered and then some. And I think what was quite touching as well with Samba is I was in the warm-up area, and the warm embrace he gave his coach, Henny Coetzer. And Henny Coetzer, his coach, who actually coached the guy in 2014 Continental Cup to victory, Cornell Fredericks, he almost had tears in his eyes. He was saying he's never coached an athlete like Samba before. In 30 years of coaching, and it was a hugely emotional moment.
And you mentioned there Salwa Eid Nasser in that women's 400 metre race. The dominance from that young lady, the way she pulled away from that field. Caster Semenya in second with the national record, and there was heaps and heaps of space between those two.
I would say for Salwa, for such a young athlete, she just had such a mature approach to racing. We can remember from London 2017 when she finished so strongly to get on the podium last year. Again, in this 400, she wasn't afraid to let the athletes go out hard. So Caster Semenya really, really hit that first 200 hard.
Uncharacteristically so. I mean, she normally struggles to get out the blocks.
Yeah, but she really, really went out for it. And Salwa just wasn't, she wasn't concerned by it at all. She absolutely stormed that second bend.
It's the sheer confidence of the girl as well. I mean, chatting to her afterwards in the mix zone, you know, when I said what your expectations were, she just flat out said, I expected to win and win with such a time. Incredible for one so young to have that level of confidence, for sure.
Yeah, I also heard as well, she was mentioning how she's looking at potentially the 200 as well next year. I saw somebody tweeted out her halfway time and she reached 200 at 23.4. which is, you know, shifting considering she's got another 200 metres to run as well. So really excited to see how she does over the 200 metres if she does decide to properly competitively run it next season.
Well, she said she wants to beat her mum's personal best because she used to be a 200 metre sprinter as well. So that's first up on her to-do list.
And she ran as part of a 4x1 at the Asian Games.
Yeah, and they ran
a national record.
Yeah, 42 something.
But I mean, of course, after those Asian Games, flew on next day, won the Diamond League, so she's just absolutely flying. So I mean, that's certainly one of the stars on the Asia Pacific team.
I that was the thing that impressed me about Samba as well, actually, because he was at the Asian Games. I think he ran in the 4x4 as well as the 4 hurdles. So he's had a busy schedule recently. He's coming up against Karen McMaster, who showed great form in Zurich to win the Diamond League last week. But yeah, Samba, another one, very young, very confident. He was quite bullish in the press conference yesterday. And yeah, just did the business in a stunning time, it has to be said.
And we can talk about Nasser as well and the performance by Samba, but there was one other man on the Asia Pacific team who had a very special day today. He's a New Zealand sprinter by the name of Joseph Miller, who's just had the biggest payday of his life, $4,000 by going above and beyond for the team. He's a 200 metre sprinter where he finished 8th. He's well out of season in that event, coming from the Southern Hemisphere, and also contributed in the relay as well. But it was him stepping up, going above and beyond in the discus, which was just incredible. He also won a little bet with Tom Walsh, the New Zealand shot putter as well. Tom bet him that he could only throw 26 metres. and Joseph having put in what he terms a safe one with his first effort and a slightly better one with his second effort, actually did a spin and a rotation for his final throw and managed to scrape over 27 metres to win his bet. It was a lovely story, and you know, it was best put. I asked him how did he feel in the discus circle, and he simply summed it up by saying bloody scary. But he's had quite a day, really.
And of course he was in the relay as well.
Yeah,
three events a day.
I mean, he was the hardest working man in that stadium, I'd say.
Yeah, so you think if he improved through the rounds in that discus, you give him another 50 competitions or so, he might be up to world standard, you never know.
Well, he does have a little bit of a throwing story, actually, that he told me about. About 3 years ago, there's an event in New Zealand which is held on New Year's Day. And he actually entered about 8 different events, including the javelin throw. And he threw the javelin 43 metres that day and actually led the New Zealand rankings for the first month of the year, which is what he was telling me. So, he does have a little bit of pedigree in throwing.
And I think that's the nice thing about the Continental Cup. It's like back in club athletics where you just sometimes have to step it up for your team. There have been some injuries. There have been some people missing. I think it was Chirandi Martina who stepped up for Nathaniel Mitchell-Blake in the Team Europe team when there was an injury. And that's what this competition is about, is helping out teammates. And we saw in some of the field events, the athletes helping each other out with their run-ups, checking on that. And as you said, language barriers are often... I mean, I was complaining about my team earlier that I couldn't speak all the languages, and I've only got 3 languages in Team Americas. You've got a whole bunch of languages in your team. How do they get on with each other?
Yeah, I mean, it is a challenge for sure. I mean, there's so many cultural differences with the various nations, the big Chinese contingent, Australia, India, Bahrain, Qatar, we can go on. I mean, it is incredibly difficult to achieve that, but you can feel that, you know, they're chatting away to each other a little bit more on the warm-up track. There's definitely a sense of team there, and I think that's been borne out by the results. I mean, they've had a very good first day's performances, sitting third, and I think they'll be pretty happy with where they're at.
Yeah, well, speaking of multilingual continents, Europe also has a say in that as well, I think. I think generally the European team, it was solid today. I think there were probably areas where they would have hoped for more points and perhaps to be tied with America's going into day two, but there was some good performances, especially in the women's pole vault, with the ANA athlete Sidorova and world champion, European champion and Olympic champion Kat Stefanidi, both clearing 485, a championship record, along with America's Sandy Morris as well, also getting that 485, but on count back she was third.
I just want to say fair play to those pole vaulters. So yes, late in the season. They all competed indoors, you know, which was what? 9 months ago, maybe.
In fact, I think they were the medalists at the World Indoors as well, in a different order.
They were.
And I think going back to what you were saying in terms of like the athletes coming from the different nations and finding that team spirit together, Kat Stefanidi, of course, there performing really strongly, was saying exactly that. She's one of the team reps, and she said, "I don't know everyone, but you were walking around in your kit and you see someone in the hotel and everyone just says, 'Go Team Europe!'" And I heard the same from other teams, and that's just a nice thing. They recognise someone in their colour and they just cheer for them.
Yeah, she was saying at the team meeting this morning that they had a kind of team tactic with the European team, and the tactic was to not speak to anybody on any other team, but to scream Europe in their face instead. I'm not sure whether they actually held to that, but that was the plan anyway. Also in the team meeting as well, I think perhaps elephant in the room, the format. It was a new format this year, innovative, trying something new, and I think there has to be something said for that. Particularly Colin Jackson had a lot of good things to say about it in the team meeting this morning, saying that, you know, it's important for the sport to continue to be continually innovative and trying new things. We can't just keep doing the same thing every time. I think this is quite a loaded discussion anyway, but I wonder what your guys' thoughts were on it.
I just thought it was interesting before the elimination races, mm-hmm. the men's steeple and the 3,000 metres, in that no one knew what was going to happen. Literally no one knew. I was speaking to athletes, agents, fans. No one knew what was going to happen. And I know that Soufiane El Bakkali and Conseslus Kipruto, they had a plan. They were going to run together. They were going to try and make sure that they were the last men standing when it came to it. But obviously, the race plan changed a little bit. But what can you say about a race that you don't know what's going to happen? It's fun. It's exciting. you might not like it, but it was completely unpredictable.
I think, yeah, well, that was the first time of that point, that day, of the day, that I actually got out of my seat because I was really that interested in how this was going to play out. So that has something to say in itself, I guess.
I think so. I think it was utterly compelling. I think I noticed, even in the mix zone, I saw lots of journalists breaking away from what they were doing, and they did want to see what was happening. I think Tom's right. You know, it's absolutely, people want to see what is going to unfold.
I think the interesting thing about it as well, of course, the steeplechase was a difficult one to be thrown into, because on top of the format, there was just so much drama. We had an injury with Al Bakkali. We first started out with only 7 men because one of my guys, Evan Jaeger, didn't even make it to the start line because he's got a foot injury. So everyone was sitting there and thinking, right, okay, so that means the first time no one's actually going to get pulled. And then that after that, when there would have been a next elimination, we saw poor Al Bakkali get injured, and then we didn't know, does that mean that the next person gets out? So that created extra drama with the whole situation, and I think that again just made everyone get more on their feet and look at how the race unfolded.
I'm just saying as well, if New Zealand's Joseph Miller was on that team, he would have been a 3,000 steeplechase as well, I'm sure. And what about the elimination qualification semi-final final format of some of the field events? How do you feel those went?
Well, someone who bossed it, I guess, was one of your guys, Tom.
Who's that?
Well, Samai in the long jump.
Well, it worked out for him. He actually jumped better in the earlier rounds than he did in the final round.
But very consistent, all jumps over 8 metres.
Very consistent, but he's another one who's had a long season. I think he wasn't happy with his performance so much, and maybe he couldn't quite find his rhythm as much as he would if he knew he was just going to have 3 and then another 3 throughout the same kind of old traditional format. But the thing he said to me at the end of it, he was happy to get the win. You know, it doesn't matter what the format is. If I win, if I got maximum points for Africa, that's the most important thing.
And I think for my team, it worked out, as I said earlier, really well, because especially in the throws, we've had some big upsets, as I said. In the women's discus, it was such a shocker when Sandra Perkovic got fouled that last round in the discus, and we suddenly, with Yami Paris, ended up with the top points. And similarly, I was so impressed with Deanna Price in that women's hammer throw. To hold it together like that, and just because it's only the last round attempt that secures your team the win. Of course, we know placings and prize money is differently in these events. It's awarded by result. But to get the points, to be a team player, you have to perform in that last round. And those women really did that.
And she broke the championship record as well. And the final round, she was against the world record holder. So some serious metal she's got there. Especially as well, looking into next season, it'll be cool to see if she can actually climb onto the podium, maybe, in Doha.
Well, she's had a great season in general because she set area records. They've had a great competition internally in America, going for the American record. So for her, again, to see she's had a very long season to continue and to better, as you said, a championship record here at the Continental Cup, just really bleeds into a great season next year.
Another one I want to mention quickly, going back to the elimination race style event, I really enjoyed the women's 3,000 metres as well, because not just because Europe did very well with Hassan obliterating the field in the final lap, but also I think in that aspect it was cool to see, I think bar the Americas who did drop out first and second, the other teams were all quite competitive, and it was nice to see Tanaka of Japan, she's the world under 20 champion from Tampere, competing for the first time on like a big international IWF event, which was really cool to see, I thought. But aside from the women's 3K, does anybody else have any other honourable mentions they'd like to talk about?
Well, I just want to, after me earlier praising my relays so much, I just want to send my sincere condolences to Thomas and Team Africa's, because you guys just had a shocker in the relays. You were high hopes, really, going into these events.
We did indeed have high hopes, especially after a few kind of mishaps. The other innovation that we haven't mentioned is the Joker, which backfired with a couple of the African selections. I think going into those 2 4x1 races, the men's and the women's, there was hope that we could at least pick up a second place, maybe climb our way back up the podium, but on both occasions, it wasn't so big. If you don't get the baton round, you don't get a result, and you don't get the points. And yeah, the mood in the camp was not the happiest by the end of play. But what can you do? What can you do? I think the Americas bossed those races, really, didn't they?
I'm just ecstatic. I was on my feet. And it was exactly because we're we have to think outside the usual America theme that you combine with it, and just to see the fact that not, I mentioned the women's relay, of course, with four nationalities, but even with two nationalities in the men's race, we had two Americans, two Jamaicans, for them to get it round safely in pretty impressive times. I think that bodes well for tomorrow. I don't know about you, but I think you guys have some catching up to do.
I think it's the Continental Cup gamble, because Europe kind of played it safe by using their continental champions. They had the GB women, and then they had Turkey, who actually got the silver, but I think because the GB men decided not to come out here. So I think they played it safe by going with the team who they knew could get it round. But then obviously it kind of, we can see from the Americas that it can work, but also Africa that it definitely is a gamble. And
there was a lot of hope with, I mean, Toby Amusan is a hurdler, but she was part of the 4x1 Nigerian team that won the African Championships with Blessing Okagbare. But yeah,
try and catch Talu. I mean, that's a tough job.
Maybe that is the problem, that when Talu starts to get going, it's hard to keep up with her. But I don't think it's a problem with the team dynamic. I think sometimes relays just backfire, and in both instances with the African team, they backfired. So I think the team spirit is still strong. You know, despite the setbacks, despite a few kind of head-scratching results, an injury to El Bakkali, of course, I think there's still a lot of hope for day two.
Well, and I saw Conceslas Kipruto after his race, and he was in very high spirits, and he felt that he really lifted the mood in the team. He promised yesterday that he was going to go for a swim in the steeple pit, and then I saw him and he said, I forgot to go for a swim. So maybe we'll see some performance from him there tomorrow.
Just a word on Conceslas. I think he's won a lot of new fans after what happened in Zurich. He,
mm-hmm.
he
yeah.
ran the large majority of the race with just one shoe, and he got a huge reaction there in Zurich. He also got a very big reaction here in Ostrava. His profile has just been elevated. And I know some people maybe talk about his antics in the last lap.
I loved it.
He was having a ball.
Yeah, but he's been doing that for a couple of years, hasn't he? He likes to entertain the fans, and he really is one of the sport's great entertainers.
He's got a great personality. He's got a kind of cheeky side to him, which sometimes you don't see in perhaps all Kenyan athletes, and I think that's what makes him so appealing. I think tomorrow for Asia Pacific, though, I think it's just a case of looking at Africa and trying to keep them at arm's length. I mean, we have some good athletes tomorrow. Looking ahead, we've got Haroon in the men's 400 and Gong as well in the shot put, where we'll be expecting big points. So what do you reckon, Tom? Are Africa going to overhaul Asia Pacific tomorrow?
Definitely. That's why you're looking to Africa. We've also got the women's steeplechase as well, where we've got the world record holder Chepkoic in that event leading. So I think we should be taking maximum points there for sure. But yeah, it remains to be seen. Men's 15, Menangoi, that's a big shout as well. Yeah, I think the Team Africa fancy our chances of running you down, Steve.
Yeah. It's nice seeing two little battles forming, I guess, for the battle for the bronze medal over there, and then me and Michelle, Europe and America's battling out. Currently, we are separated by 12 points, 135 to 123. How do you reckon it's going to go in day two?
Well, I don't want to sound too cocky, but I don't think it's going to be a big battle. I mean, we've seen some pretty big upsets. Looking at the timetable tomorrow, there's a few events where I'm not that sure whether it's the second day is our strongest day. I think today was one of our stronger days, but I think we've got a few aces up our sleeves, really.
Yeah, I think, yeah, looking to tomorrow, we definitely have in Team Europe a lot of strong events to come. We've got the men's hammer throw, we've got the men's javelin, we've got the men's pole vault, we've got the men's 110 meter hurdles, we've got the women's 200 meters. And then, yeah, high jump as well with Lasitskini, and long jump too. So I think we're going to be tough to beat. I think day two, okay, day one we were off to a slower, steady start. But I think day two we've got the Americas in our sights. You're not gone away and got first just yet. But yeah, any other notes that you guys have got, or are we done here?
One other thing I think later mentions the atmosphere in the stadium.
Yeah.
It hasn't really been mentioned. Lots of the younger kids kitted out, and fans in the four different T-shirts. I don't think I've ever quite experienced anything like that at an athletics event before.
And what I really loved was the fact that right by the warm-up track, they've got a mini stand and the fans can actually go and watch the athletes warm up. And I always feel we're really privileged to get the insight being on the warm-up track. You mentioned watching some events with the athletes there, chatting to get instant reactions. And I think it's fantastic to see that the organizers picked that up, put a little stand there, and for fans to go and watch athletes train there and warm up and have the reactions and interactions.
Huge tick for the organisers, I think. You know, it may well be that America's are leading the battle at the moment, but the organisers have done a fantastic job.
I definitely agree with that. Hats off to the organisers because, yeah, the atmosphere has been amazing. When we first arrived, it was almost like a festival outside, all the different food stands, music and loads of stuff going on. But, yeah, looking into tomorrow, hopefully will be when we reconvene, Europe will be the Continental Cup champions.
And
anyway,
watch out for Africa. That's
Africa,
all I would say.
The Lions.
Watch out for Africa.
Lions versus Tigers for the third place.
And we've got Lions and Tigers. I haven't heard an Americas or Europe moniker yet.
I'd say Europe is probably something like a wild boar or something like that. That is quite common in Central.
And the American skunk.
I was more going for a buffalo or something.
The boar and the buffalo. Okay, we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Piranha, maybe. That's a piranha.
Anyways, thank you all for listening, guys, and we hope you enjoyed our day one roundup of the IWF Continental Cup. Do leave us comments and rate and subscribe. All the usual stuff. That is all from us for today, but we'll be back with you again tomorrow. See you later, guys. Bye.
Bye.